If you're feeling exhausted, puffy, anxious, foggy, gaining weight, or just not like yourself, you're not imagining it. Women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s are experiencing massive hormonal shifts, and no one is explaining what's actually happening. I'm Katie Whalen, co-founder of Joy. I built Joy because I lived this. The fatigue, the mood swings, the weight changes, the confusion. Your symptoms are biological, not personal. And AI-generated lab reports won't fix them. Every Joy lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who specializes in women's hormones and connects every biomarker to how you feel. Energy, metabolism, mood, sleep, skin, weight, everything. Then, we personalize real solutions. Hormone therapy, peptide therapy, supplements, and lifestyle protocols. Get started at joyandblogues.com today. This month, new customers get 50% off labs, and you can add our estrogen face cream for just $1 with clinician approval. Use promo code podcast at joyandblokes.com.
Hi, good morning. It is 5:57 a.m. here in Berlin. I woke up around 5:15. By myself, it's Sunday and it's amazing because it's raining and it's not super sunny. And I really love waking up like in a little bit dark, and then I feel like city is super, super quiet and I get to enjoy this. I really like it, but it's so hard to catch this during summer in Berlin because it's always super sunny, and I think the sun rises around like maybe 4, something like that, and I don't wake up that early, so I never experienced this, but it is a special day, and I already had my intention to record a podcast today, but I didn't know that I was going to wake up this early, so it's perfect timing, and no more delaying, and so this is the longest break I took from recording a podcast. I don't know, but I think it's been 3 weeks or a month, and the reason is that because I never decide on a topic that I will be recording. It's always I sit down, so this is like more for like the English only speaking listeners, because Turkish-speaking listeners already know that I never decide on a topic. It just comes to me, and it doesn't even come to me. I just sit down and I say that, okay, I'm going to record a podcast today, and I start speaking, and there's always like a theme that comes already while recording that I don't have to decide. And then I maybe tell a story around that. And then I also observe myself that what am I going to talk about today? And it's a great way for me to process things. And as you can imagine, it's usually raw and vulnerable and emotional. And that makes me feel really good because I get to accept all parts of myself through recording a podcast and publishing into the world. And that feels really freeing. And there is also taste to it, to do it in my mother tongue, because I can't say that I'm good at communicating and conveying my emotions and expressing my feelings. However, I never learned that to do it in my mother language. So this is the first time that I started doing it in the podcast. So that's why it is kind of like... it feels healing. So today I will talk about my experience with fasting, and the only reason because I promised about that. But maybe it will not be only about fasting, because this is really not my style to like decide on a topic and think about what I'm going to be saying about that topic and then talk about that. It's just really not my style, and I'm not going to put myself into a position like that again. Let's see if I will or not, but like I really don't like deciding on a topic and talking about it, because I don't know, I'm not an informative podcast channel, I guess, but I will try to make it in on my style as possible, and maybe like I said, I won't be only talking about my fasting experience, because there might be right now some topics that really wants to come out and to be shared. Yeah. And yeah, so okay, I So I think start about like why I decided to do fasting. Main reason, first of all, I also want to say that fasting, it's not the first time I did fasting. I think I shared this before, but this is my fourth time, I think. First time I did it with my partner. Around 2 years ago, we did at home together 48-hour water fasting, and I felt amazing afterwards. I remember waking up and like going to my acting school. That time I was going to an acting school and just like looking at the things on the street that just like felt excited just to look at them. It just felt so excited. I think it's a lot to do about like resetting the dopamine receptors so that things feel exciting without you having to drink a coffee to feel good or just to eat something to feel better or do other things like more detrimental things. So it just felt really good. And then later I did another fasting in Thailand because I was traveling in Thailand and I felt so much of a desire to do, because I didn't know that there are like some places specifically for fasting, and my own experience was this experience that was done at home. And while I was traveling in Thailand, I saw that okay, in Thailand there are like specific places for that, and it sounds amazing and it's not even expensive, it's very affordable, so why not just like cherish this holiday with something very good for myself? And I did that, and I felt even more amazing than the time that I did it at home, because even though like the first one was water fasting and this one was fasting where you also have coconut water a day just to get some natural electrolytes, and it was combined with kolemma. So kolemma, I think it's hard to explain, so if you don't know, you can just like Google what it is. Probably Google will explain better than me. C-O-L-E-M-A. And it is like you just put like a thing into your rectum, and it just feels so weird in the beginning, and but then it feels good, so you want to do it. And when I first found out about it, that this was also included in the fasting program, I said, no, I'm not going to do this part. But they said, it's really good. And I said, okay, I'm going to give it a try. And after I did it, I really liked it, because the effect that you feel. So basically, there is this water that is coming through your rectum, and then it cleans your gut. So you just like clean your guts from the other side. And then it just like the water pressures it, and then your intestines get filled with water, and then you release it, and then it comes out with a lot of stuff that you can maybe you're not able to release with just normal poop and toilet every day. And it's an amazing way to clean really, really insides. And the feeling that I had first time when I tried this was like as if I had a morning coffee, and I felt like really clear in my head. I don't know, because like there is no one that doesn't know about it anymore, I guess, that our gut and brain is super connected, and that has something to do with that. So, and the second fasting that I did was combined with the kolemma, and it was in a nice environment where there was a person who was responsible from that I could check in every day. And it was also in an amazing island, again the same island that I went to recently, Koh Phangan. And there's sauna, pool, other people you're fasting with, so you can just like, you don't feel lonely in your experience. And because sometimes when you do such things, and it might be some extreme things, and might be seen at least from the society that it is extreme, and then you can just like get lost in your thoughts because your mind might not want you to do fasting, and then it tells things like, you're crazy, you're doing such a stupid thing. But when you are doing with other people, you just like, you don't have that types of thoughts. So I had that experience, and it was 72-hour fasting. And then
if you're feeling exhausted, puffy, anxious, foggy, gaining weight, or just not like yourself, you're not imagining it. Women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s are experiencing massive hormonal shifts, and no one is explaining what's actually happening. I'm Katie Whalen, co-founder of Joy. I built Joy because I lived this. The fatigue, the mood swings, the weight changes, the confusion. Your symptoms are biological, not personal. And AI-generated lab reports won't fix them. Every Joy Lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who specializes in women's hormones and connects every biomarker to how you feel. Energy, metabolism, mood, sleep, skin, weight, everything. Then, we personalize real solutions, hormone therapy, peptide therapy, supplements, and lifestyle protocols. Get started at joyandblokes.com today. This month, new customers get 50% off labs, and you can add our estrogen face cream for just $1 with clinician approval. Use promo code podcast at joyandblokes.com.
This winter, I really felt like I had the need to do fasting, and then I didn't have, I wasn't able to travel because I had something with my visa, so I had to stay in the country. And then I decided to find a fasting center that is similar to one in Thailand, in Germany, and around the same, because, like, of course, there are also great places in Germany, but they seemed super expensive. In Thailand, it's not expensive at all. And I was trying to find something that is like matching the prices with Thailand. And I found something in the north of Germany, and it wasn't that good. I mean, I still had some benefits from fasting. And I, if you speak Turkish, you can go back to some of my episodes, and they are also like great stories about like what happened and everything, like something from past came out and how it's cleared, and it was just amazing. But yeah, but like physiologically, it wasn't that great because I didn't have sunshine, of course. It wasn't combined with like other things there. I wasn't connected with other people because there were other people who are like very, very old Germans who are doing it. And we didn't have like check-ins together that we could connect and like speak about, because I don't think it does matter that they are old Germans. By the way, in a vacation, as like a travel I went like maybe 4 or 5 years ago by myself traveling in Fuerteventura, I just hang out with like older German couple. And yeah, so I definitely don't mind hanging out with older German people. I like them, I guess. I mean, it's, yeah, so it's not about that, but there was also nothing that would connect us. So there was no check-in meetings that we could speak together. We could only like see each other in the hotel, and it's also in a hotel. In Thailand, it is like in like bungalows, and it's like more in nature. It's definitely nicer. And there was a hiking path, actually, the one in Germany that I went to, and I was hiking every day, and that was very nice. But I don't know, I didn't get the same thing. And there was also, of course, a sauna, and that part was really nice because sauna is especially nicer when it's like a winter time. But I would say that I didn't gain like the vitality that I gained in Thailand, because also there was no kolema in the place that I in Germany. And that was, I think, 5 days fasting, yes. And also it was included like a vegetable broth that you had and a carrot juice in the morning. So it was a water-only fasting. And these people also, like these institutions, people, places, they also have a lot of tests and design the fasting things according that you could get the highest benefits. So there is not a big difference if you do like a water and only fasting versus like if you include some vegetable broth or coconut water into your fasting, because you still get all the benefits and you still go into the autophagy, like this like ketone state. So it doesn't matter that much. And they know really well about like what puts you in those states and whatnot. But I would say maybe to the water only fasting, there might be more like spiritual effects. I'm not sure. I only did water only fasting one time. 1 second, I'm just gonna drink coffee, so I'm gonna pause. Okay, I pause it because I don't want to edit it later, the parts that I'm drinking coffee or like drinking water. So I think that's really smart, no? Yeah, so I did that, and then I was really in need, because I also right now I started a full-time job. That is also another story for Turkish speaking listeners, like how I came to this point and like what made me do it. Mostly the desire. Okay, I'm not going to get into that topic because it's a whole topic in itself. And I want to really go to Thailand and do a proper meaning, like in a with a kolema in a nice place in nature, fasting before I start my new job, because I really felt like I needed that vitality and I had a lot of things to digest. And while eating, it's not easy to digest some big emotions for me. It's just how it works. And then I decided to go to Thailand and I picked this program. It's called 11-day fasting, but you're not fasting 11 days. So you have 2 days pre-fast where you're just eating raw food. And then you start your fasting in the third day. So you fast for 7 days. And the last 2 days, you're also eating only raw food. Or in my case, I didn't eat raw. I had steamed vegetables because it's easier on my gut. And yeah, so basically you're not just like started to eat like how you eat usually, maybe, because when you put your gut into such a state where you fast, you get like, you make yourself even more sensitive, and if you start just like indulging in food, that is even more detrimental. So you should not do that. So you should really, really put some attention into what you'll be eating after fasting and gradually introduce foods, which can be, I know, annoying and frustrating. And you might want to just like start eating the food that you miss during fasting, but it's not good. So maybe like when you consider fasting, just don't think that, okay, I'm just going to fast, I don't know, 3 days. And just think that it's going to be a process of 7 days. Maybe you are gonna start easing into it, and then you're gonna fast 3 days, and then you're gonna be careful what you'll be eating for 3 more days. So it's gonna be like 6 and 2 more like 8 days journey if you are thinking, for example, fasting for 3 days. Yeah. And yeah, so for me, it was 11 days. And then we had also guidelines that was recommended to us how to introduce food slowly in the next 7 days. So after the 2 post-fasting days, you also start like eating more vegetables, and then you start including some grains, and then you start including the 4th day vegan protein, and then 5th day you can start eating animal protein, and then 6th day you can start eating, maybe, I don't know what was there, I don't remember, but for me it was the, like, I remember perfectly clear the 5th day, because I really wanted to eat some fish and I was just counting down to the 5th day. And for me, like, during fasting, I did not have any like hunger or anything like that. But for me, the post fasting was harder, because when you start your engine, you remember how it tastes and how it feels to eat, and then it's harder not to eat certain things. So I really like was looking forward to the 5th day, and then I had an amazing fish, and it was so delicious, so delicious. I really like fish. And yeah, I mean, I already started to talk about the post fasting, but like the things that I started to crave was really like a lot of protein I craved, and some salt, extreme salt, like that I craved, but nothing like a cookie or something like that. It just felt like it, like I just couldn't, like it just felt so irrelevant. I didn't crave anything like that. Yeah, so we can go back to the post fasting, like how I felt like and everything, but maybe first starting with the fasting. And I want to also say that fasting, I mean,
if you're feeling exhausted, puffy, anxious, foggy, gaining weight, or just not like yourself, you're not imagining it. Women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s are experiencing massive hormonal shifts, and no one is explaining what's actually happening. I'm Katie Whalen, co-founder of Joy. I built Joy because I lived this. The fatigue, the mood swings, the weight changes, the confusion. Your symptoms are biological, not personal. And AI-generated lab reports won't fix them. Every Joy lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who specializes in women's hormones and connects every biomarker to how you feel. Energy, metabolism, mood, sleep, skin, weight, everything. Then, we personalize real solutions. Hormone therapy, peptide therapy, supplements, and lifestyle protocols. Get started at joyandblogs.com today. This month, new customers get 50% off labs, and you can add our estrogen face cream for just $1 with clinician approval. Use promo code podcast at joyandblokes.com.
There are different reasons, maybe like you might be doing, and of course, everyone has their own unique reason. And for me, it was like, because I also struggle with IBS, I was diagnosed with SIBO as well. And I really wanted to give some break to my gut. But the biggest reason also that I lost my father last year in November. And also, like, this is how my podcast started, because it's a lot to digest, and I'm still digesting and I'm still grieving. But I felt like I really needed some big space to digest this. And it's not easy when you're in your daily life and you're eating food and you're going to work or you're living in a city. But I really needed this like very quiet time where I'm not distracted myself with any single thing, and I can just sit with this emotion. And I don't think it is easy, and I don't think that is an approach that could help anyone. It's just, I think you need to feel the need for that inside of yourself to do such a thing. And I really felt that. And since I was already practiced with fasting, I just felt like, okay, I need a long fast, and I want to sit with these emotions. And because grief, when we say grief, it's not like one emotion. Grief comes with anger, grief comes with sadness, grief comes with memories, grief comes with thoughts, grief comes with like calculations where you calculate, okay, like from 10 years after this, it will be like my father hasn't been alive for 10 years, like things like that, like everything on every memory. And also you let go and you feel with every part of yourself. For example, I, of course, like with my 30 years old version, I recognize that, okay, I lost my father, but there are also part in me that are younger. And they were not aware of my father died, and I hid this information from those parts because I could sense that it is so hard for a younger version of me. And for example, there was one day where I really felt like a 10, 12 years old Gizem, that version of me, just found out that it just processed, like, it's in Turkish we call it like dank etmek, like it's like just come to a realization that oh this happened. And that was so painful when I cried whole day, for example. And it was coming from a very young part. So there are also this type of things, are different versions of yourself come to realization, and then also they go through the process of whatever like that is for you and feeling. Yeah, so there are even younger parts in me, like that maybe they still don't know. And so it is a complicated emotion. It's a complicated thing to lose someone that is your parent. I think it's the hardest thing, maybe. At least for me, it's all thing has been very painful. And even before that, I started to grieve about my father because he's been an alcoholic and he's been depressed. And I was just watching him just, I think, like, you can call it like that. I think the addiction thing is that death by a thousand pieces, because you see the person is changing every day, and they're hurting themselves and you can't do anything about it. And it's been like this for me the past years, and it's been the most painful thing in my life that I had to experience. Yeah, and yeah, especially like the last 5 years that he's been not feeling good. And he's always been, by the way, I hear also that from some people that when their parents are alcoholic, they're acting out and they're being violent and everything, but I never experienced such a thing with my father. He's always been so kind and nice to me, and I never even experienced like him increasing his voice towards me, and it's even more painful. And the And the thing he was doing is just like he was destroying himself, and that's really, really painful to witness, that your parent is just self-harming. And also, you know that they are the kindest and the nicest person inside. And yeah, yeah, okay, I breathe a little bit and I come back. Okay, so for me, these are the main things, and I think they are big things. And I also want to say this, fasting is not about not eating. I think it is definitely about, like, if you have even a little bit of like a self-punishment tendencies with like food, around food, like for example, you are hungry but you're not eating, and then it won't work. It will just make things worse. So be really, really, really careful. I want to give this disclaimer. And fasting is not about not eating. It's about removing the distractions for your psyche and for your body to go through a processing period where you release a lot of things. And if you're, let's say, not eating but smoking during fasting, it's not gonna work. I tell you, it's really not gonna work. First of all, physiologically, smoking is really inflammatory, and you're not gonna get the benefits from fasting you usually will get. And also, I think the biggest benefits of fasting, I know that everyone is talking about the physical benefits, but I think there are a lot of emotional and spiritual benefits to fasting, that you get a lot of clarity, you get to process the emotions. And then when you process these big emotions that you've been suppressing or you never had a chance to process, then you change for the better and you have space for other things, and you're just a different and more mature and more, I don't know, grown person. And you're not gonna get that with not leaving the distractions. So it's really not about food. And also, same time, again, you're not eating, but you're smoking and you're drinking coffee. And coffee creates a lot of dopamine. So you're also not going to get this dopamine reset from fasting. And again, you're not going to get the spiritual, emotional benefits, because you will distract yourself with coffee. And it's about really removing these distractions. And even like eating and not smoke, like removing this, like first, before eating, if you have the distractions of like cigarettes, then first start with not smoking and see what happens, and see how you can sit with the emotions that not smoking brings. And then you go into the fasting, because then it's a lot of things that you're removing. So start by one by one, and really please do not fast. Like, do not eat food and just drink coffee and cigarette. It's the worst thing that you can do for your body, I think. And yeah, so I just wanted to give this disclaimer. And also, if you have a struggling relationship with food, if you have these patterns of like when you restrict yourself, you find yourself eating more, then I would not also recommend. And yes, I have emotional eating patterns sometimes, and I used to have overeating problem, but for me, I don't observe myself anymore, the overeating or like binge episodes. And emotional eating, for me, fasting, it actually helps with emotional eating, because I get to experience that actually, okay, now I maybe, if I was eating and not fasting, I have the urge and I would like go with that. And by the way, there is nothing wrong with emotional eating or even like smoking or drinking a lot of coffee or whatever. It's just a coping mechanism. Let's see that. And everyone almost has things like that. And also, there is like a balance of having such coping mechanisms. Like, if it is not interfering with your life and it is like helping you to get through your, for example, working, and then coffee helps you to go through your day, and just go for it. It's a self-loving action to distract yourself sometimes. Just don't go a bit very radical, because you just can't be perfect. Even if you try to perfect, like this, like Brian Jensen, like something like that, the guy, It's just then you lose your, I think, humanity. And yeah, it's just another disease. I think the perfectionism, going very perfectionist about what you eat, what you, yeah, there is like a balance to everything. There is even a balance to, like, I think, self-destruction. Just I love when I see like that people, because it also requires such a, I don't know, skill to let yourself indulge sometimes and then say that I did it and I fucking did it and this is what I did. I ate the chips and it was awesome and go for it. That's amazing. I think that not everyone has that, and people also get very self-critiqued and when they do such things, and that really does make things even worse. And yeah, so if you really like check in with yourself and be really, really brutally honest with yourself why you do, why you're doing what you're doing, because like really, like you can call it the fasting, but can be actually from the deep down as like a self-punishment, or you can say that I removed this from my life, and it can be really like from a good place that, hey, I'm really careful about what I'm putting into my body, and I observe that coffee is just really not helping, so I'm not gonna have coffee anymore, or like I'm not gonna have sugar anymore. Great, go for it, but really make sure that it is not also a source of hardship. And it is not like if you get to like drink one coffee, even though you said that you won't, or if you get like have sugar, even though you said you won't, it doesn't make sense, you know. Life is not about, or like being loving to yourself or like caring for your body is not about being very radical and restrictive and then just like feeling bad, because sometimes life happens and we can't control everything. And you know, just really, really be honest with yourself. And I don't want to influence anyone in a negative way, because I'm really not saying that fasting is amazing and everyone should do it. I think it's just, no, you just try and see it for yourself. Try it for one day, see how you feel, see like how it felt, because how it felt like not having coffee or cigarette or whatever, or like your favorite, like a chocolate time of the day, like how it felt when you didn't have it, and what was the other side of that. And yeah, just see it for yourself, okay? So this was a disclaimer. And now I go into, I guess, like share my experience. And I think I felt like I shared. So if you haven't seen it on Instagram, and if you're just listening to this, I really recommend you that I shared very bluntly and raw about day to day, because I was, right now I am in a, I'm not in it. I done the fasting like I said, I think it's been like a month ago. No, it's like 3 weeks ago. And then the last episode was a month ago. So it's been like 2-3 weeks since I done the fasting. And yeah, so I'm not in it right now. But I also shared this like journal, a story journal on Instagram, like day one, day two. I think I started in day two until like day 7. And then some feelings that I shared on the day 8. That you can read them, I think, for more detail. And right now what I want to share, I don't know either if you chose, so I'm just gonna sip some coffee. Okay, I think you covered the reasons. And now I'm gonna talk about, like I said, for more detail, please check those journals. And but in general, I want to say that it wasn't hard for me. And this has been my experience with the other fasts as well. Somehow I can do it very well. I don't feel hungry. I feel hungry usually first day. And especially like if I'm in a phase that I'm drinking coffee, which wasn't the case for this one. But for example, in January, when I did fasting, I was also drinking coffee before. I had that daily habit and I felt so much headache so I couldn't even feel hungry at all, because I just really wanted to have some coffee to have some boost and not to have the headache. So it was really, really hard. And then you can also see that how much like what kind of things your body goes through, like when you're drinking coffee. It's Crazy. And this time I wasn't drinking coffee before I did fasting, so I didn't have this like withdrawal from coffee. Right now I'm drinking, as you can see, but yes, I coffee comes and goes because sometimes coffee makes me feel really not good, so I cut it and I don't drink it. And then I wait for a time it comes where just drinking maybe one cup of coffee, this is the maximum I do, that is fine. And right now I'm in my phase somehow after fasting. I wanted to give it a try. And when I first did, it made me feel like my body felt so tense. So it was like, no. And then now I am like making at home in a very small amount. And then I found like an amount that doesn't give me that kind of horrible feelings. So now I incorporated coffee into my life back again because I really want to, I never want to cut it. You know, and it's just sometimes it doesn't make me feel good. That's why I cut it. But I really find it joyful when it feels good. So right now I'm happy that I'm not reacting to coffee. So that's a good thing. Yeah. So but before fasting, I wasn't drinking coffee, so I didn't have withdrawal, and that's why I felt really hungry. Actually, not even like a physiological hunger, but like I just wanted to eat something because you know it gives you joy, and I felt like I want to eat something. But then it passed with the second day, and then I also started the colymas, and yeah, I went into this like really okay, I'm ready kind of a mood, and from then onwards, I haven't felt hungry at all. I felt tired also the first third day, especially like I wake up, I do my colima. So this my schedule was like this. So for you to have some picture, I wake up, I have colima, and then I do yoga for like 1.5 hours. And then it's also like a very strong dynamic yoga that we did because that was what was in the program. Of course, you don't have to do that, but I checked in with myself and I felt like I had the energy. And also, I didn't have the desire every time, but anytime I did it, also, they also warn you if you're like in the fasting or detox, just take it easy. You don't have to do every move. So that's what I did. I didn't go fully. I went in.
If you're feeling exhausted, puffy, anxious, foggy, gaining weight, or just not like yourself, you're not imagining it. Women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s are experiencing massive hormonal shifts, and no one is explaining what's actually happening. I'm Katie Whalen, co-founder of Joy. I built Joy because I lived this. The fatigue, the mood swings, the weight changes, the confusion. Your symptoms are biological, not personal. And AI-generated lab reports won't fix them. Every Joy lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who specializes in women's hormones and connects every biomarker to how you feel. Energy, metabolism, mood, sleep, skin, weight, everything. Then, we personalize real solutions, hormone therapy, peptide therapy, supplements, and lifestyle protocols. Get started at joyandblokes.com today. This month, new customers get 50% off labs, and you can add our estrogen face cream for just $1 with clinician approval. Use promo code podcast at joyandblokes.com.
Day to day, it depends. Some days I really went full in because I felt so energetic. Some days I took it very easy. So it's like day to day, it changes. Yeah, anyhow. So my day, I do colima and then I do yoga and then I get a massage and then I also, it feels so good. And if you're fasting and if you support it with a massage, it's amazing because you're gonna release a lot more. It's great for you. So yeah, this kind of like a supportive activities, I think, is what makes it really, really good. And then in the center that I was staying, it's called Orion Healing Center. There are also a lot of complementary exercises, meaning that there are like a breathwork sessions that you can go. There are kirtan. I love it so much. What kirtan is that you just go and there's like live music and then you chant and sing with other people. And I love that because it makes me feel so good. Whenever I go into kirtan and then I sing my heart out and I usually cry while singing, and it's great because like no one looks at you that if you're doing something weird, like it's just people cry. And even in one of the kirtan I participated in Thailand, the guy who was facilitating said that there might be some people who cry and they actually feel all the feelings from, and then they cry for us. And I felt so recognized, you know, because I do that. I do that very often. I cry for other people. I feel their feeling, and then I let it out through my own body. It happens. So I don't know if it happens to you. It happens to me for sure. And I felt so good because, yeah, I finally felt recognized. And then, because sometimes I feel resentful, especially like when it happened with my partner that he would suppress emotions, and I felt for him and I felt so resentful, which is not good. And I shouldn't feel this. I mean, my feelings are valid, not that I shouldn't feel this way, but it's not the situation. It requires resentment. Actually, it just happens. And then it's my responsibility to find ways to deal with that. Yeah. You know, when you are in a relationship, you get to get angry for the things. Anyhow, yeah, so when it's recognized, it made me feel really good. Like, okay, like someone is thanking me for like doing that. Anyhow, it's not the topic right now. But you have a feeling of my style, right? It's just like it's not easy for me to stay in one topic, and my brain works in like very like a sub tabs, and then it opens another sub tab, it opens another one, and then I go back to beginning to close all of them. Yeah, this is how I live my life as well. Like, for example, I start doing a task, and then let's say that I start doing task A, and then I start doing the task B, and I start doing task C and D and F, and then I do like a 25% for each, and then 50% of each, 70% of each, and then when I close them, they all get closed. So this is really how my brain and my system works. And I also work like that too, and I read like that too. I read like 11, 12 books at the same time in different things, like one philosophy, one psychology, one novel, and everything, because they are different, right? Like, for me, it's not the same thing. So I read like 10, 11 books at the same time, and then in 1 week, because like it's so slow, because you're just reading a lot of books at the same time, but in 1 week, I finish all of them because I had the progress in all of them. So this is like a pattern that I observed in myself. And of course, with podcasts, it's as well, like that as well. So it's just not easy for me to stay in one topic, but it's how it is. I'm not apologetic about it, because why would I be? It's my podcast, and people have the free will not to listen to it, right? It's amazing, actually. Like, you're not having a dialogue with anyone. It makes me feel so free to just to speak. And I'm also curious about the reactions that I will get from the English-speaking people, because it's my first time. It's a very new thing, and I'm really used to, and I love my Turkish-speaking audience, and I feel very familiar with that, but I don't feel familiar with you yet. I don't know who you are. You know, I don't have the feeling who you are. And maybe I'm a little bit even scared about it, because, yeah, I think Turkish-speaking audience has been very nice to me with their, like, encouragement and support, and that motivated me to, like, record more and more and more. And I don't know how the English-speaking people will be. Maybe they will be not nice, you know? And, of course, it's my responsibility again to deal with it. And, yeah, of course, maybe some people won't like it, but usually people don't write to me that, hey, I don't like your podcast. People write when they like it and they find something, and then they want to share something, maybe vulnerable as well, because I am very vulnerable during my podcast, and I think it gives people space to be vulnerable as well. Yeah, it's a good thing. Good thing. Good contribution. I'm patting myself on the back right now. Okay, what was I talking about? Fasting. Yeah, and then my daily routine. So I started with that, and then there are these like things, and then there are also like a different kind of like an emotional healing things, like, I don't know, some body work that you can do. Like, I did some of them. I did like this, like a belly massage that like removes a lot of blockages from your belly. It's a physical massage. It's not like a Reiki where just people don't touch you. You're being touched, and it's believed that in the belly we hold a lot of emotions, so it like also releases a lot of emotions. So I did this kind of things as well. And I think when I combined these things, it was like very, very powerful for me. And I really forgot about food. Like, I didn't feel hungry. And then some days, like first in the beginning, I felt like tired, especially like around afternoon. Like, and we had also daily check-ins with the fasting managers, and they were really, really good actually, because like you feel lost sometimes, and then they just like give you a recommendation or like encourages you to keep going. And like, of course, they are not like strict, hey, you can do it. It's not like that. There were also some people who broke the fast because it wasn't good for them, and that is like that. They really like you're really held by them. Like they won't tell you, they will find the best way for you. For example, some people switched into intermittent fasting with raw food and everything. And it's really important that like you're being supported, especially with long fasts. Like if you don't do it at home, and if you're surrounded by people who know what they are doing, who know what they're going through, and who can help you and hold you, that's amazing. And I think if you do that at home, like that kind of a long fast, I think it's really not good. Please don't do that, because there might be some complication, and that's really not great. So we had like the daily check-ins at 12 in the afternoon. So it's like around after yoga. And they were very nice. And then right after those meetings, I would like, it's so early right now. It's 6:43. Oh my god, I've been speaking for 40 hours at 6 a.m. Are you like, how do you find this energy to like speak like this at this early? I do. You know, I'm a morning person. It's great. It's great to be a morning person. I would feel like sleepy around that time and I would take a nap. However, after the third day, this run away. I didn't feel like an afternoon crash. I just felt energetic. Yeah. Especially like after third day, I felt really, really energetic. And this kept going. And I also really sat down with the emotions. And I think I gave more detail in those like story journals on my Instagram and the stories. It says fasting diaries. And yeah, there were some really painful feelings, especially like around my grief. But they had to be felt, and I felt better after feeling them. I felt like also a lot in my body, like, and I think when I first arrived in Thailand, I was in such a state that I wasn't feeling in my body. I was just a lot in my head. But that changed, and I felt really, really grateful about that, because it feels amazing to feel in your body and not in your head. Like it's just amazing. It's great. It's awesome. It's some people never experienced that, you know? Can you believe that? That's so crazy and sad. But why am I in this not sad voice? Am I bragging about feeling in my body? Maybe. Yeah, it happens. I recommend that. But of course, it's not a recommendation. Like some people just can't get that state. And it's also not very easy for me to be in my body all the time, and I don't think it's easy for anyone, but maybe it gets easy with practice. So yeah, but it's like, if you never feel in your body and if you're in your head, I just want to tell you that you're not living life, and life is not like that, and it's not sustainable. You know, you're gonna feel bad. You're gonna feel bad. You're gonna find maybe some dopamine things, some like good things for your ego, but they're gonna be fleeting. But when you're more like in your body and you're living, and I think how you get to your body is that you just feel your feelings, and that happens. Yeah, I think that's the best way. And yeah, of course, movement is one of the best ways. Breath can be one way. For me, it's not super effective. For me, movement is more effective, but the best, most effective thing is that I just like sing and cry and feel my emotions. That's the thing that really puts me right into my body, singing and crying. What was I saying? So yeah, in general, I didn't feel hungry. I was supported by these like other things and other activities. And like there are a lot of things. Like there was also like first day I started with internal family system thing, a session, and I didn't even like look for it. The person who we were supposed to do health consultation, she just said that you just want to do IFS, because I also do IFS, and we did it. And that also from day one, things came up for me. And then that evening I went to Kirtan, and from day one I was like in my body. And yeah, that was super effective. I think that supported my fasting journey quite a lot. Yeah. And then also in the middle of the fasting, I experienced like some big emotions, like very, very, very big. And yeah, I really would love to also be able to like sit with my emotions more, like in my daily life as well. But it's not that easy to like, not to find space. I think I can always create time, but it's just, I don't want to. I just want to like, I don't know, watch something or like meet my friend instead of like sitting with my emotion. But sometimes they are so much coming, like approaching to the surface, that I just want to sit with it because I know that like another activity that I want to do is not gonna make me happy because there is an emotion coming up. And like, you know, those moments, you just like need to feel it, and then just, you don't want to do other things. You don't want to distract yourself. You just want to feel your emotion because yeah, that's like very on the surface. And then you feel better, and then you can do your activity you want to do. And then you enjoy that activity even more because yeah, you took care of the part of you that is coming up and urgent and needs you. And yeah, it won't give you a peace of mind if you don't pay attention. Yeah. And yeah, so that's one thing that I really, really liked about fasting. And for me, what was hardest was the, like this maybe also saw on the diary, it's this liver cleansing thing. You start drinking very bitter Epsom salts, and then whole day, and then you drink like an olive oil with lemon mix, and then you start feeling so fucking nauseous, like amazing, like crazy nauseous, not amazing, sorry, crazy. And I was of course warned by the fasting team that I can experience these things, but I can like go through. And then I did, I really like stayed. And then I fall asleep, and then I woke up in the middle of the night with a huge nausea, and I threw up. Yeah, I really tried not to throw up because I wanted to get the whole full impact, but I did. And I couldn't release the gallbladder stones. And one theory, because this is my second time doing this flush thing, I also did before, like the previous time that I did it in Thailand, and I didn't release any stones either. So the fasting manager said that maybe you don't have stones. So I take that. Maybe I don't have gallbladder stones and it's fine. I don't have to release it. So, but my take is that I'm not going to do that again. I just don't want it because I think my body can be very sensitive to that. And it's a lot of Epsom salt and it's a lot of olive oil that makes you feel so nauseous. And I felt really bad after that. And after that thing, actually, I started to crave a lot of food. I wanted to have some salty ayran. It's a Turkish drink, I think, when you drink it when you feel nauseous. And then I wanted to have some çubuk cracker. It's like a, you know, this like pretzels. Not the pretzel with where you get from bakery, but pretzel you get from grocery store, like more crunchy. Those ones, we call them cracker in Turkish. And yeah, you also, when you feel nauseous, you have some cracker and salty ayran, and it helps. So I really wanted to have that, but my fasting wasn't over, so I had to wait one more day. And that was my hardest day, really. But if I didn't have that drink, and then that would have been easy. Like, no, I was at that point that I was really enjoying fasting. Yeah, but it is how it is, and I have my lesson. I'm not going to do that. I love fasting, but I'm not going to do any liver flush, whatever kind of things. I think it was too hard on my system. But some people say that they feel really good, and I think maybe it might be good for a male because their bodies are bigger usually, and they can maybe get benefit from it. For example, there was one guy from Argentina, and he actually released some stones, and he said he felt really good after that. So, see? Yeah. But I won't do that again. I will fast again, I'm sure. But I won't do this thing again. Yeah, so that was how the end was, so I was really looking forward to having some iron. And you're not supposed to break your fast iron, but I did. But at least I did like a non-dairy option. I asked them to prepare iron from coconut yogurt with lots of salt, and this is how I broke my fast. But my nausea didn't pass; like it took literally 2 days. And then when I started to eat like veggies and everything, and then after the first day of eating, the second day I started to feel better. And then for me, it was harder during the post-fasting because you don't feel that elevated when you're like when you're fasting. And it's like I was.
If you're feeling exhausted, puffy, anxious, foggy, gaining weight, or just not like yourself, you're not imagining it. Women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s are experiencing massive hormonal shifts, and no one is explaining what's actually happening. I'm Katie Whalen, co-founder of Joy. I built Joy because I lived this. The fatigue, the mood swings, the weight changes, the confusion. Your symptoms are biological, not personal. And AI-generated lab reports won't fix them. Every Joy lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who specializes in women's hormones and connects every biomarker to how you feel. Energy, metabolism, mood, sleep, skin, weight, everything. Then, we personalize real solutions. Hormone therapy, peptide therapy, supplements, and lifestyle protocols. Get started at joyandblokes.com today. This month, new customers get 50% off labs, and you can add our estrogen face cream for just $1 with clinician approval. Use promo code podcast at joyandblokes.com.
So I was craving so much fish that I really was looking forward to the fifth day, but I wasn't craving food when I was fasting, so I wasn't looking forward to the end of the fasting. And yeah. And I felt like I already gained what I wanted to gain from fasting, like the emotional release and physical release. So I felt a bit bored. But it was also nice to like incorporate food and start tasting food again. But I don't know, it felt somehow, because of the looking forward to fish thing, like kind of not very joyful either. And I don't know, there are some different protocols around like what to incorporate. Maybe some protocols, they suggest you to like start with animal protein. So you can have like some chicken or fish. But I don't know, in this center, they were suggesting that it's a bit like hard on the system to start digesting animal protein right away. So I wanted to listen, but maybe it's like, maybe next time I try more according to my body. But yeah, I think it's also like nice to, I don't follow the protocol sometimes because it might be really like sometimes tough to digest animal protein, which usually is not the case because it's usually very, very easy on the gut. But yeah. And then I return and I stay there one more week. Actually, I extended my stay. I'm looking forward to finish the podcast and just like lie down on my sofa and like read some book right now. I'm gonna go to sauna today. I'm excited about it. And then I got a projector and I'm gonna watch a movie in the evening before I go to sleep. I'm so excited about it. Yeah, and then my friend actually asked me, I think it's been so long right now, I'm not gonna go into more detail, but you can always reach out to me if you have like a very specific question. But this was like in general, like the how the program was, and I was talking about my daily routine. So yeah. And then after like the body work and blah blah, I usually took time not to do anything and just chilled by the pool, or I was in my room feeling things. And then I also read books, so I didn't not do that. I read some books. I was reading I'm not really good with like the name of things, like name of people and name of books and name of films, even though I love films and books. I think this Untethered Soul. Yeah. So I was reading that and it actually was like a very complimentary to my process. I really like that book. I'm not going to tell you what it is about because I don't want to. You can just Google it. Untethered Soul from Michael something. Yeah. Yeah, it was a really good choice, I think, to pick while doing fasting because, yeah. I'm not going to say why. It's just check. And What else? Yeah, so that's what I did. And then in the evening, there is another kolyma, or if you have a session like a Reiki or whatever, you just have that. And then you can take a walk. There was the beach. I went there sometimes. And sometimes I just stayed in the pool. And yeah, so this was my days. And I got used to it. And it was just, I don't know, it was easy for me. I didn't find it hard. As hard as the post-fasting. And yeah, and then I followed the protocol for 7 days. Also, I stayed there. I extended my stay because I think for me, it would have been hard just to return to home, Berlin, and then try to follow those protocols in Berlin, because it's not easy also traveling, etc. I'm sure I'm not supposed to say etc. there. I don't know why I said. Blah blah. And yeah, this is how it is. And then my friend actually asked me this question, so I took a screenshot of it. This was my only preparation for this episode. And she asked me, like, I actually forgot to take a screenshot of her question, so maybe I go to WhatsApp again and I search for it again. I'm gonna put a word reflection and then I'm gonna see her question. Reflect, maybe. Yeah. So she asked me, what kind of a change did you observe in yourself from the day you went there until today? And she also added, it's like a podcast topic. Ha ha ha. And yes. And I was like, yes. And I think the question helped me, because I wasn't feeling good today. That day when she asked me, I was feeling sad about something. This was like during post-fast, and I actually came back to myself with this question. It gave me a space to reflect, because I was reflecting during the fasting with the Instagram stories, and then I kind of like this experience like slid, as if like, okay, it's done, and I didn't look back. But I think I needed to also digest the experience. And then I said this replies, I think I improved my muscle of like giving space to my emotions more, because I think it gave me the ability to like recognize it and the ability to sit with it. I think it's also like a muscle, like you just don't start with like sitting with every emotion that you have. You just learn how to, of course, also in the daily life, I don't think that you're supposed to just feel everything when they come to you. Of course, you can try to do that, but I don't think it is realistic. But just learn how to like manage and like recognize it. And then if you're, I don't know, maybe you're in a meeting and it's not a good time to experience or feel your emotion, just like recognize it. And then you go home and you give space to that. So, but then in the setting that I was in, I just didn't have to do such a thing, you know. I could just like give space to them every time I wanted. And that actually did something to me. It gave me this like trust in myself and in my ability to stay with emotions. And then to experience that actually when you stay with these big emotions, it feels painful when you're doing it, but this is the way you're going through it. And then you feel really good. Even though the emotion that you felt was really painful, you feel good afterwards. It's like, it's how it works. I don't know why. It's how it works. I don't know. So yeah, that was one thing. And then I said, I'm experiencing less cravings, or like not cravings at all actually, because you also reset your taste buds. And then like I said, I craved protein and I didn't crave anything like junky or anything like that, and I felt like I could feel hungry like quicker, so it gave this reset kind of. And then I had a big clarity around one topic in my life, because I've been wanting to adopt a dog, but I was waiting for like having my place, like my apartment to myself, and have the stability there. And I have that now, but I wasn't sure when is the right time and everything. And I have one dog that I've been having like conversations around, and it was so like crystal clear to me that I should adopt it. I should do it. I was like, is it an impulsive decision? No, I was like, yeah, I think I want a dog, I think, because also that another realization is that I have so much love in my heart. And of course, I share that with my friends, but sometimes it's not the same thing. For example, when you have a partner, you also have a space to like care about someone day to day and like really just show your love. And I don't know, I really like that. And I don't have that right now. And I think I still have the love, and I really have this desire not to like care about a partner, but just care about like a being. It doesn't have to be a human and a partner. It's just like a being. And I have so much energy for that. I have so much love for that. And I feel so ready and mature and grown up enough to be responsible from like a living being and care about that being and just love that being and be responsible for that being. Plus, rationally speaking and thinking, my lifestyle is also very appropriate for a dog. I'm active. I don't party and do things like that. I go for dancing sometimes, but it's just usually sober dancing with coconut water or maybe wandering, something like that. And it's not very often, honestly. And I don't have like a crazy nightlife either, like nothing like that. And yeah, I have my people and I feel safe with them. I feel that I'm secure and I'm stable, and yeah, that's a great thing. And this was one thing, and I signed the papers, by the way, when I'm back. And if everything goes well, and let's see, that he will arrive end of the month. So I'm so excited about that, and I was so looking forward to return to Berlin, because I'm really like, I have now something in my heart unlocked that like, when I see dogs on the street, that I just feel so excited. And like, I don't know, some like, I have so much love inside of me that I can connect through, even like with the idea and the process of adapting him. And like, he's not even there yet, but I love him so much. And it's such a great feeling to love someone this much. I love that. And also, I had again, another ability to sometimes like this, like emotional eating or something like that, or it doesn't have to be even emotional eating. Like I see it, it's like a cloud. Sometimes this cloud comes to me and it wants to really pull me back with some thoughts and also like physical sensations. And I really got familiar with that, because sometimes, maybe in the past, I wasn't able to. Sometimes, yes, but sometimes I wasn't able to see it as a separate thing from myself. And sometimes I get lost in this like cloud. I see it like a cloud that wants to pull me down. And now I'm really familiar with this cloud, and I'm not identified with this cloud. It became so super crystal clear that this cloud is not real and sometimes comes. And my task is to recognize it and just work with it and not work against it, because it's like a cloud that probably just wants to protect me, and it's way of protecting me, and that's just not gonna work. Sorry, cloud, but like, I know you. I'm not hating you. I used to hate you, and I used to think that you're me, but I'm sure everyone has this experiences when there's like state of like mind or some negative thoughts are like coming, but it's also like a exercise and muscle to get to know this stage and to be able to separate yourself from this stage, because when you are able to separate it, they pass. And yeah, I got better at this, so I'm happy. And I think these are the main things for me that I experience. And I'm happy about it. I'm glad that I did it. It gave me a lot of things. And like I said, I don't recommend it because everyone is different. And but if you feel like the calling inside of yourself, and if you have never done fasting, or if you're just curious, not even a calling, you're not going through something major or anything like that, but you're just curious, just start with one day fasting and see how it makes you feel and what kind of feelings you will feel. But like, do it like with really, really intention. I knew that I was gonna feel a lot of things, and I was ready for it. And if I wasn't ready for it, and if I was pushing myself too fast, I think that could have been a disaster, you know. So these are my thoughts. I already spoke for an hour. I think this is enough enough of this. I don't want to talk about it anymore. But if you have any questions, you can just ask me specifically, but just be please specific. Don't ask questions like, I don't know, how was fasting? And what do I answer to this one? Good. Like, I also tell here, and then I tell how was it, like, on Instagram stories. So if you have a question, like, specific, ask, like, a specific thing, you know? I don't know why I have this. Like, I'm way nicer with my Turkish speaking audience. I don't know why I'm like this with the English speaking audience, but it's different. And I don't know if I ever make an English episode, but I mean, it's up to you. If you tell me that you really want it, I can do it, because it motivates me when I know that, like, some people listen to it and they want to hear more. It makes sense, right? Of course it does. Okay, so we're coming to an end. I'm looking forward to my Sunday. I'm really curious about if I'm gonna make an English episode next time or Turkish episode, because it also feels like I have a lot of updates that I want to talk about with my Turkish listeners, Turkish speaking listeners, not Turkish listeners, because there might be some people who are also Turkish speaking, but they are not Turkish. So I'm trying to be as inclusive as possible. not from an authentic place. I'm just joking right now. And yeah, so I don't know if I feel like I have connection with English speaking audience. I might also do sometimes, but I don't know. I wish there was a way to do both at the same time, because I don't want to have like these two lines of updates, because yeah, it's like I want them to be in the same place. So maybe also Turkish speaking listeners, you also share like how you think this episode was, for example, like was I different? Like what was it different? And do you prefer Turkish or English? I don't know. Maybe let's see. Maybe I will just sometimes I will record English, sometimes I will record Turkish, and I will not care about everyone knowing every update. Some updates and some stories I will only share with some Turkish, and some things I will only share in English. So I think, I found a solution. I think that's great. Not everyone needs to be updated about everything, or yeah, that's great. I love that. Thank you for listening. Okay, see you. All right, take care. Yeah, bye.